So good to be in God's house today. Amen. 600 years old and he still made a difference. 600 years old and he still made a difference. Imagine this morning, just imagine an incredible man of faith from the Bible coming into our church this morning to speak to us. He's an ancient man. His face is withered. His hands are bony. There's a hobble in his walk. He's older than anyone we have ever seen. And he's here to give us his wisdom and encouragement. And he walks to the front of this church and he says to you and I with great conviction, one person can make a difference. I know, because when God decided to destroy the earth with water, he made a covenant with me so that mankind would not perish. Well, now we all realize this man is Noah. The Bible tells us that Noah lived to be 950 years old. That's quite an accomplishment. But it is nothing, I'm telling you, it is nothing compared to the way he lived his life. His righteousness saved humanity from extinction. Look at the scripture with me, the Word of God, Genesis 6, 5 through 9. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it? And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, that he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. What a great, great testimony to someone to say Noah walked with God. I'm not sure why, but there's always been a lot of cartoons and funny little pictures, if you would, of Noah and Noah's Ark. And I couldn't help myself. I wanted to share just a few of them with you this morning. You can see the unicorns, the Mr. Unicorn and Mrs. Unicorn there. And he's reading a paper. And he says, a big storm's brewing. And she says, that I'm glad we didn't go on that cruise thing with your whack job friend Noah. It's obviously they didn't, because we haven't seen a unicorn since. I like this one. The dogs and cats, of course, are on the ark. The dogs are misbehaving. And Mrs. Noah says, Noah, where did my big metal spoon go? And you can see the dogs have appropriated it very well, tied the cats on top there. This is a good one. Noah's wife's looking out the door there, and she says, Noah, keep an eye out for my mother. She's coming with us. I don't think so. I don't think she made that trip. Not that trip. And here's the ark, and you got little rabbits everywhere. This is day 39. That's important now, day 39 on the ark. And the elephants are looking around saying, I thought the limit was two. The rabbits are, yeah, you understand. This is good. Now, all the animals came on the ark in pairs. And the little boy says, not worms, they came in apples. Come in a pair. Sherry liked that one. She liked that. Look at this picture of Noah here. The Bible tells us that this incredible man, he was a just man. He was perfect, it says, in his generations. That he walked with God. Listen to that description. Noah walked with God, and he found grace in the eyes of God. If Noah was standing here in front of us this morning, I think he would encourage us, telling us that there are ways that we too, you and I also, can be difference makers in the lives of those around us. So let me just quickly share some points with you this morning. First of all is this: you can make a difference for your family. Everyone in this room, hear me. You can make a difference for your family. Living a life of integrity, a life of obedience to God, always has the potential to positively impact those around you, and especially your family members. We don't always see it while we're fighting the good fight, but it happens just the same. Noah was selected to build the ark because of the way he lived. He had obedience that didn't just benefit him, but his obedience saved his family, didn't it? Except for his mother-in-law. We saw that part. But maybe she made it. Look at the scripture in Genesis 7 and 1. Then the Lord said to Noah, "Come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation." Think about this with me for just a minute this morning. Those closest to you benefit the most when you do the thing that's right before God. Are you hearing this? Those closest to you benefit the most when you do the thing that's right before God, when you set an example. You set an example in your personal prayer life. You set an example as you study the Word of God. You set an example when you walk in love and you walk in the Spirit. You set an example when you have a spirit of grace and tolerance and forgiveness about you. You set an example when you live a life where you are not ashamed to tell others about Jesus and what Jesus has done for you. You set an example when you love Jesus and you love the Lord with all your heart. You make a difference by setting those examples. You're making a difference in the Bible-based, Spirit-led decisions and actions that you live out every day make a difference in your families. I look back in my own family. Many of you can look back in your own families and remember parents and grandparents or aunts and uncles, those that made a difference because they walked with God, they trusted in Christ, and their life was an example of that. I think about both of my grandfathers. Both of them were ministers. And the examples that they had on me as a young boy growing up. I think of my home church that I grew up in, my pastor, Reverend Wayne Bashir, my Royal Ranger leader, Wayne Word, and my college career teacher, James Porter, who was the best man in my wedding. All of those folks were difference makers for me. They touched my life. They showed me something of what it meant to know Christ and to walk with Christ. Even as I look in my own immediate family, I think of my mother and while it's not Mother's Day, let me give honor to my mother today. Because despite in a home full of brutality and her being beaten by my father and a home that was often full of poverty, she set an example of commitment and faith and trust in God that was unwavering. I couldn't tell you all the times and examples of where my mother, facing incredible things, was so strong and full of faith and kept trusting in Jesus. My father had been run over by a car when he was drunk walking across the street. And he'd been laid up in the hospital for weeks and months, and there was no income coming from his business, the little car lot that he had. And the only income we had was the meager income my mother had from her job as a switchboard operator. It was one of those moments where we woke up one morning and my mother gathered my two sisters and I into the kitchen and just said, "We don't have any food for breakfast. We don't have any milk. We don't have any cereal. We don't have any bread. We don't have any food for breakfast. We don't have anything. I don't have the money. We don't have it. So come with me." And so she led us into the living room and we knelt down by the couch in our living room. She just began to pray and to cry and to sob and ask God for a miracle to help us. And we knelt there praying. And you know, when your mother's just broken and crying, it really touches your heart. And of course, she's praying. She said, "God, help us. Please help us." We get up and she's, "Okay, you kids go ahead and get dressed." So we're getting dressed for school, and all of a sudden we hear a shriek or a shrill coming from the kitchen. My mother comes running into the hallway, and she's holding one of those big round boxes of Quaker Oats. You remember those big brown boxes? And she says, look what God put in the pantry. Some people say, oh, it was there all the time. She just missed it. I'm going to tell you something. When you don't have any food in the pantry to start with, and you're worried about your kids and there's no breakfast for them, if there's a box of Quaker Oats, you're going to see it, okay? But it was a miracle. And it's a miracle that is an adult today, still I remember, because it represented a mother that had faith, that trusted in God. When things were impossible, she kept trusting and believing. We need those folks in our lives, don't we? We need to be those folks. We need to be those parents and great-grandparents and grandparents and friends that make a difference by how we live our lives of faith. The second point this morning is you can make a difference for future generations. Once a young man was watching a man in his 80s, and the man in his 80s was planting an apple orchard. And the older man lovingly and painstakingly prepared the soil and gently planted the tiny little saplings and watered them. And after watching for a while, the younger fella said to the older man, he said, you don't expect to eat apples from those trees, do you? You got the point of the question. You're not going to live long enough for these trees to get big enough for you to eat these apples. The old man looked at the young boy and said, no. He said, but someone else will. Someone else will. Your actions help make a difference and help those that come behind you. Because God's covenant with Noah, we can be assured that we are safe from a worldwide destruction by water, by flood. Earth's inhabitants, we're still receiving the benefits that came from one man's life of righteousness, that man being Noah. So I just reminded myself and you today that we can benefit future generations when we serve others, when we influence them positively and encourage them to pass along to someone else what they've received from us. How we have blessed them, how we've been an example. When we do that, we create this chain impact, if you would, of future generations. At Pleasant Hills Children's Home, two boys from a single parent home were placed in the care of Pleasant Hills, and their fathers were absent from their lives, and their mother was addicted to drugs. And the boys lived at Pleasant Hills for several years. And during this time, they accepted Christ as their Savior. And during a supervised visit with their mom, these two boys shared with their mother how they'd put their faith and hope in Jesus, had they given their hearts to Christ. And this testimony of these two sons led this mother to the point of making a profound change and decision in her own life to believe in Jesus Christ and to trust Him with all of her heart. And as a result of that, she was able to complete her rehab. She's able to have her boys return back to her care. In fact, recently she brought the two boys back to visit the church that they were attending, where they were part of Pleasant Hills Children's Home. And she later visited with the staff at Pleasant Hills, and she said, Pleasant Hills Children's Home completely changed our family. I don't know where we would be without you. Thank you for helping our family. See, the directors at Pleasant Hills, Harry and Martha Thomason, they're touching lives for future generations. Again and again, the staff, the house parents, all ministering at that place are touching future children and children's children by that ministry. They're making a difference for future generations. The third point is you can make a difference for God. Too often we fail to realize our importance to our Heavenly Father. You know, the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 16 and 9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to Him. God is just looking for those that will trust in Him to show His heart strong toward them, toward you and me. God is always looking for someone to stand in the gap for Him. Someone that desired to partner with Him to love the people around them with the love that He gives us. That was the case in this man, Noah. God was discouraged. We read the scripture. He was discouraged with the people he created. Yet the Bible says Noah found favor in God's eyes and caused him to save humanity. Because of his relationship with God, Noah changed the course of history, didn't he? I mean, dramatically changed the course of history. Because of your relationship with God, you can be a difference maker for what God wants to accomplish in the community around you, in the family around you, the people around you, and to be a difference maker in their lives in a way that continually points them to our Savior, Jesus Christ. The fourth point is that you can make a difference, this is real important to me, at any age. Everybody awake, hear me this morning. This is a seniors church. You understand what I'm saying? Anybody can still make a difference at any age. So often we put restrictions on ourselves. We start focusing on gifts or talent or training or experience or age. And we let that think, well, it's too late. But with God, one person can make a difference regardless of circumstances, regardless of situation. I'm going to tell you, age means nothing to God. It means nothing to God. You remember the story where Jesus fed 5,000 because a boy provided loaves and fish. You remember when Noah entered the ark, he was 600 years old. I use both of those stories to point out you're never too young and you're never too old to make a difference for God. Our senior years are not a countdown to the end, but they're a divine opportunity to walk in wisdom and influence and legacy. We were not designed to retire into irrelevance. These later years are not the leftover years. They're the prime cut years of our lives. The most dangerous lie that can creep into the minds and hearts of us seniors, the lie that somehow we've missed our moment, that we've missed our purpose, that the purpose that God has for us had an expiration date and it's past. That is a lie. Purpose of God is not seasonal. The purpose of God is eternal. It is assigned to us before the foundation of the world, and it doesn't vanish just because of a date on the calendar. It doesn't just vanish because of the color of our hair or the lack of hair that we may have. Let me just say this to all of us here this morning. If you're here, if you're living, if you're walking, if you're breathing, if you're thinking, then you are still needed. You're still on assignment. You're still carrying something that this world needs that they have not seen yet. God does not create anything without intention. He does not sustain anything without a reason. So if you're still standing, there's a reason. Only God gets to decide when your purpose ends. It doesn't end because of a resolution. It doesn't end because of a rule. It only ends when God says it's time to end. Some of the most powerful moments in history were born because of what the world called somebody that was old, continue to be obedient and to be used of God. I'll tell you this, there are problems in this old world that your more senior hands were designed to solve. And there are younger generations that will never walk into destiny if you don't finish your destiny that God has given you to finish. You must change your mind. You must. We all must change our minds toward this thought of our latter years. I want to just tell you as confidently and firmly as I can today, your time is not over. Your time is now. Don't count your years. Make your years count. Make them count for Jesus. You're not here just to fade. You're here to finish. You're not growing old. You're growing wise. So let's set the record straight this morning. Age is not a curse. It is our credential. Are you hearing me? It's our credential. It's evidence that you've survived battles. It's evidence that you've endured storms. It's evidence that you have learned lessons and you have gathered wisdom that only time can give. We're precious before God in our season of our senior years. Today, seniors, I say to you, you're not finished. You're not irrelevant. You're not forgotten. You're still here because you are still needed. So back to Noah. If Noah was here today, I believe he'd give us some words of encouragement. I believe he'd give us some things to remember as his visit. He'd say, first of all, don't be afraid to stand out in the crowd. Sometimes we're a little uncomfortable with that, aren't we? He'd say, don't be afraid to stand in the crowd. Let me say, know what it meant to be the kind of man to stand out in the crowd and people to ridicule him. No one encouraged, by the way, Noah to follow God. There was nobody else encouraging him to follow God. Yet he stood up for God even when the world stood against him. Difference makers are different. Don't let that bother you. Still be a difference maker. The second thing I think Noah would tell us, don't be afraid to do something for the first time. Noah built a boat on the land, not anywhere near the sea or the river. That would make people look at him and say, that man is crazy. That man has absolutely lost his mind. When we started the work to plant this church 16 years ago, the men on the sectional committee of the section that I was part of the Assemblies of God, they mocked and made fun of my ideal of planting a new church for seniors. One of them even challenged the whole ideal spiritually. He says it's inconsistent with the Bible. Another man said, you're crazy because if you're going to reach old people, they're all going to die. Then what are you going to do? We're still here 16 years later. But thank God I had a presbyter named Gary Elrod who stood with me, supported me, encouraged me, and blessed this church. Don't be afraid to do something for the first time. Because if God is in it and God is directing it, then be obedient and follow the Lord. Remember in this, can you imagine? Can you imagine? Look at this boat out here in the middle of nowhere. Storm's coming. Here come the animals. And everybody's been making fun of him. Nobody's ever done anything like this man did. But he just kept building. He just kept doing exactly what God put on his heart. Somebody says, well, it's never been done before. Don't let that keep you and me from doing what God places on our hearts. And remember, when you see a rainbow, remember, not only God's promise, the rainbow represents God's promise, doesn't it? That he'll never flood the earth again and never destroy the earth again with water. But there's a second thing I want you to remember when you see that rainbow, next time you see one. Remember that one person can make a difference. Remember that with the call of God and the purpose of God in your life, you can still make a difference. Amen. I close this morning with this prayer. God, help us to understand the power of one. One person living a life under the leadership and anointing of the Holy Spirit. Show us the unique task, O Lord, and opportunities that you're going to put into our lives. Give us the will, Father. Give us the power to follow through so that by your hand and by your help and by your grace, we can indeed make a difference. Amen? Father, we thank you today. We thank you for the examples in the Word of God. Father, I ask you by your Holy Spirit to touch minds and hearts in this place and let them know that we are not finished. God, that there is more ahead of us and that there is opportunity for you through us to help us make a difference in the lives of those around us. God, help us realize that our work is not finished, it's not over, it's not through. You are still with us. Help us to walk in faith, to be guided by you, and to trust in you for every step of this life. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Amen.